is Find Your Dream Job, the podcast that helps you get hired, have the career you want, and make a difference in life. I'm your host, Mac Pritchard. I'm also the founder of MaxList. It's a job board in the Pacific Northwest that helps professionals find fulfilling careers. I believe that lifelong learning is the key to a successful career. And to get a better job, you need to learn the job hunting skills that will help you find the role of your dreams. That's why we're here today. Every week on Find Your Dream Job, I interview a different career expert. We discuss the tools and tactics you need to find the work you want. This week, I'm talking to Ruth Winden about how to wow an interviewer half your age. Ruth Winden is an expert in helping older workers get jobs. And she says one of the biggest challenges these candidates face is connecting with younger hiring managers. One mistake older applicants make, says Ruth, is not being clear about the value of the experience they offer. Technical skills often become outdated, she says, so older workers need to emphasize management and other evergreen abilities. Too many older applicants look for work with the wrong employers, she says. So Ruth encourages these candidates to focus on companies that hire people from multiple generations. And she cautions that it's up to older workers to work well with younger managers. If you're not good at this, Ruth says, you need to fix it. Want to learn more? Listen in now at the MaxList studio as I talk to Ruth Winden about how to woo an interviewer half your age. Ruth Winden is a career coach for professionals in their 50s, 60s, and 70s. She helps older workers overcome age bias and land new jobs with clarity, focus, and confidence. Ruth is also the author of the forthcoming book, 101 Ways to Overcome Ageism in the Workplace. She joins us today from the town of Yarm in the northeastern part of the United Kingdom. Ruth, thanks for being on the show.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Well, it's a pleasure. You know, our topic today is how to wow an interviewer half your age when you're a job candidate and you're an older worker. Let's start, Ruth, by talking about the challenges older workers face when they're talking to younger interviewers. What should be on the mind of an older worker when she or he walks into that room?
The first thing I suggest to my clients is not to get too worried about the fact that, yes, there is age bias in the workplace and there is age bias with recruiters. We know it exists, but if you focus on that completely, then I think you set up the interview in a certain way and it doesn't do you any favor. So that's something really, how do you feel about the interview? How do you go into it is a really, really important starting point. And another good thing to think about is who are you likely to meet in the interview. So do your research, really understand the interviewer, his or her background, what they're interested in. You can do this with LinkedIn, you can do a Google search, but you really want to find out as much about the interviewer and then find what do you have in common. Because I think what I see is if there's a big age gap between the interviewer and the candidate, an issue can sometimes be that they don't necessarily understand each other or they don't think they have enough in common. And it is, in my view, the job seeker's responsibility to find out as much so they can really show how much they understand the world of the other person and also they can, they can connect and build that all important rapport.
And I love the idea of doing the research ahead of time so you know who you're going to meet, because sometimes I imagine you've had this experience with your clients, Ruth. They walk into a room and they're surprised by the age of the person they're meeting, and it shows on their face, doesn't it?
It does. And sadly, I also hear stories from my clients that they say, well, I went into the room and the interviewer looked really surprised because he seemed to expect a younger person. And that is always awkward. So you know, it is really important that we find that connection, something to talk about, and show, you know, that we are able to work across generations. And we are. There are so many prejudices and biases out there. You know, we talk about the multi-generational workforce and that the young ones don't get on with the older ones. And I don't see necessarily that much evidence of it, but it's impressions that people might have. And you just have to prepare yourself, you know, how can I connect? And we say that to any job seeker at any age, but I think when you have more experience and we are from a different generation than the interview, then it's doubly important that we really do our homework and show, you know, we can get on with any generation, any age, any background in the workplace.
Let's talk about the elephant in the room in that example where, you know, you're an older worker, you walk into the interview room and you can tell the person you're meeting with is indeed surprised by your age. How do you deal with that, particularly the possibility that the person might be prejudiced against older workers?
Yeah, I mean, it is a tough situation. But I think what you need to do is really show them how up to date you are with industry trends. You really know your field. You are a very capable professional. You're up to date. You know the latest technologies or the latest approaches, latest discussions. We really, and older job seekers do, you know. So bring your professional expertise to the fore and don't let it intimidate you or put you off, because it's your opportunity. And in a way, you know, try and woo them, try and win them over by showing what a capable person and professional you are.
Well, I want to talk more about how to woo the person. Mm-hmm. One thing I know older workers and anyone in their career will do is talk about their years of experience. Now, when you're an older worker, though, you have to be strategic, don't you, about how you describe your experience. Just rattling off the number of years probably isn't going to be persuasive, isn't it?
But you see this everywhere. You know, you look on LinkedIn and how many profiles do you see? 25 years, 30 years, 35 years experience off, you know. And I do understand, you know, we have a lot of experience. We bring a lot of experience to the workplace. But what does that actually mean? And when you see the reaction of other people who might have an issue already with someone not of their age group, what does it say to them? It says, okay, you're older, you have a lot of experience, you're expensive, are you actually up to date? And for me, there are two types of experiences. One experience is what I call evergreen experience. You know, that is the experience that does not expire. It is a lot to do with interpersonal skills, managing people, dealing with conflict, managing mergers and acquisitions, you know, all the things that are, you know, that are very, very skillful and that we have built over time. And in a way, you can argue, you know, we've seen it all, we've done it. And that is something that is never stopping to be relevant. On the other hand, we have the technical experience. I call it time-bound experience, because things change so rapidly. You know, if you say I've got 30 years experience in marketing, what does that actually mean? And the interpersonal 30 years absolutely are paramount. But if you did marketing 20, 30 years ago, it is completely different from now. And so the opposite, who might have been in marketing for 5 years, will say, hang on a minute, I can't relate to that. You know, what do you actually know about content marketing, about social media, about customer engagement? And so for me, it's really important that as for job seekers to think, you know, to differentiate what is really of value to this employer and how can I show that I am really on top of things and understand the latest concepts and I know everything about social media you would expect from anyone working in marketing. And I think that's a difficult concept for job seekers, because I understand, you know, we're so proud of the years, but the years don't necessarily give the interview a very good indication of what can you actually do for us.
And what you need to do, I hear you saying, is focus on what you can do for the employer and talk and describe the skills and experiences you have that are relevant. Just don't talk about the numbers of years.
Exactly.
Of experience.
Exactly. You know, bring in, you know, you need to have all the metrics, all the right keywords, you know, all the things that you would talk to a colleague, let's say if it's marketing, you know, that you show you really understand and can apply it and share your achievements. And that's what wins any interview over. The, in my experience, you know, in my view, the age shouldn't really factor in. The age is just a number, you know, but a lot of people get very hung up about that.
Well, let's talk about how to woo that interviewer, the person sitting across the table from you who might be 20 or even 30 years younger than you. What's the first step, Ruth? How do you recommend people get started?
I think, you know, doing the research is absolutely paramount. You want to know as much about the interviewer, you know, as they know about you. So do your search. Also understand the culture of the organization. You know, if you're going from a corporate background and you're going to a startup, it is a completely different culture. And how can you show that you fit in? You know, and that can really start from how you appear. You know, what is your dress code? If you've been in corporate, you will be used to a certain dress code. But is that really the dress code that will show someone in a startup and one of you? Absolutely not. So really doing the homework and understanding whom I'm meeting, what is the culture, what are their expectations? And then, so that's all the homework you need to do beforehand. And I think also it's really having a feel for what is on the mind of 25-year-olds or 30-year-olds. You know, those of you who mix a lot with younger people, you know, I think it's absolutely important that we really understand their worlds and can use language and concepts and have something to refer to that you have in common.
Well, let's talk about authenticity too, because obviously you want to be who you are. You don't want to pretend to be something you aren't. How do you recommend, what are some guidelines there, Ruth? Because you don't want to come across as salesy or not yourself, but what are your recommendations?
You know, I would always say, I mean, I talk to a lot of young people. I was teaching some 25-year-olds today, and I try and connect to see the world through their eyes. And I'm still myself, but by bringing in certain topics or commenting on something or being a little bit more laid back, you know, there are certain things that I think you just have to practice connecting to younger people. And some of my clients are very good at that, and some of them really have to make an effort because it's not necessarily their norm, or they might not have children or nephews or nieces or not be surrounded by many young people. It's about connecting and listening and not putting on a facade. You know, you can't really pretend these things because the other person will notice that straight away.
What's your top tip, Ruth, for if you're an older worker, to connect with younger people? How do you see people do that successfully and authentically?
I think it's really being not prejudiced and going in with an open mind and having done your work, your research. And it's interesting. I mean, I have children, a 21-year-old, a 15-year-old, and they teach me a lot about young people. And they also tell me when I become very old-fashioned. And, you know, and that is a very good measure of, you know, I look at some of the videos that they watch, I listen to some of the music. And I think anyone should do that anyway, because whether you are 50 or 30, you know, we all work in different, you know, across different generations. We now have 5 generations in the workplace. And I think it's really coming with an open mind and that understanding. Does that make sense, Mark?
It does. And I want to take a quick break right now because I want to talk more about what happens in that interview room after you've done that research and you've thought about how to make that connection. So stay with us, Ruth. And when we come back, Ruth Winden will share more of her advice about how to woo an interviewer half your age. In November, I celebrated my 60th birthday. My dad and my sisters threw me a surprise party. It was the first surprise party I ever had, and it happened at my childhood home in Iowa. Needless to say, it was a special day, and I didn't think twice about posting photos from the party on Facebook. But I might not have shared those 60th birthday party pictures online if I were job hunting. Too often, older workers like me feel we have to hide our age when looking for work. And it's no surprise why. Ageism in hiring may be illegal, but it also happens every day. I've got a free guide that can help you beat the barriers older workers face. It's called Fighting Ageism in a Job Interview. And you can get it today. Go to maxlist.org/fightageism. It's against the law for an employer to ask how your age might affect your performance on the job. However, you still need to address those concerns. So my free guide gives you the answers you need for the 6 most common misconceptions about older workers. Get those answers today. Go to maxlist.org/fightageism. Before you go to your next job interview, know how to talk about the taboo topic of age. Go to maxlist.org/fightageism. Now, let's get back to the show. We're back in the Maxlist studio. I'm talking with Ruth Winden. She's the author of the forthcoming book, 101 Ways to Overcome Ageism in the Workplace. And Ruth joins us today from the town of Yarm in the northeastern part of the United Kingdom. Now, Ruth, before the break, we were talking about making those connections with younger people and ways that people might do that. Let's go back to that interview room. You've done the research. You've thought about how to make those connections, that you're looking for something in common with your interviewer. Let's talk about confidence, Ruth. How important is that for a candidate, particularly one who's seated across someone who's much younger than themselves?
Can I just check? You said confidence, Mark?
Yes, confidence.
I think the confidence really comes from knowing what value you add to an organization and how you bring that across and how you engage and how you, you know, signal that I understand the world of the interviewer and the world of the employer.
So it's doing the research, walking into the room with that understanding. And what kind of difference can having that kind of confidence make in the outcome of the interview, particularly when connecting with a younger person?
Yeah, I think, you know, that young people want to have the confidence that you fit in. And because they might have their own ideas about what older workers are like. And so, you know, really showing that you understand the organization and how you can add value, how you work, what you're looking forward to, what you bring, and also, you know, bringing in examples that show that you have experience of working across different generations. Or for instance, you know, you might have done reverse mentoring, you know, where you have sought out the mentor, you know, the input and the mentoring and the advice from a younger person. You know, that really signals very strongly, you know, that you are very open-minded and that you are humble and, you know, you don't have any issues with connecting with younger people and seeking their advice, because it's always a two-way street. But traditionally, for instance, mentoring has always been to go to the older person, to the more experienced person. But let's face it, you know, some of these younger people, they know a lot more about certain aspects that we do. And so signaling that willingness to learn from each other and also, you know, some of the wisdom that we bring, some of the, you know, some of the highly skilled negotiation techniques or mergers, or, you know, we have a lot of experience doing business that we can help them with. And that's where the experience, you know, the management experience and the interpersonal experience comes in, which is so important, because we have that valid, solid foundation, and that's what we can bring in.
I like your example of sharing stories about how, as an older worker, you've had younger mentors. And what especially appeals to me about that, Ruth, is because it shows that you're a lifelong learner, doesn't it? And that's always appealing to employers, isn't it?
Yes. And I mean, I do this myself. You know, I sought out a younger mentor in the social media field. And, you know, and she's only 26 and she achieves amazing things. And I've got a lot to learn from her. And it makes me appreciate, you know, how much knowledge young people have, you know, that their approach might be different. And I learned from that. And it's great fun for me. It's very humbling. And it's also nice for the younger person because they feel very recognized and they feel, wow, you know, this woman has got 30 years more experience in something, but she listens to me. You know, it's, I think it's a really beautiful synergy that can come from the reverse mentoring. And here in the UK, we certainly see more efforts in putting this into place in the workplace because it is so good for the intergenerational relationships that we all need to master now that we have a workplace with five generations.
Yeah, the workplace certainly has a lot more variety. In my office, there are four generations represented. I'm the only boomer, and I'm always learning from my colleagues, the majority of whom are millennials, but they teach me new things every day.
Yeah.
And I think also another benefit of sharing stories like that with a younger interviewer in a is that it addresses a misconception out there about older workers, that older workers just have stopped learning and they're just looking for a place to coast until they can begin collecting some kind of pension benefit. Let's talk about, related to confidence, Ruth, how do you coach people who are older and have been looking and for some time and have had a lot of setbacks and frankly, they're feeling discouraged and sometimes they bring that discouragement into the interview room. What are your tips for how to overcome that?
I think the first thing is really recognizing it. I mean, you go on Twitter and I see all these negative comments all the time. And I do understand it is extremely frustrating when you go to interview your capable candidate and you feel there's this elephant in the room and they might look surprised. Or some of my clients say they even said to me, we were expecting or we were hoping for a younger person. And that really hurts because, you know, it is totally unfair. But I think people need to understand if that's going on, you need to really get out of that. You need to, because if we expect to be treated like that, we behave differently. And so for me, a big part is really first, you know, recognizing I have built up, because of the rejection, I have built up a negative view and I take it with me and it stops me from being my real self. So that's number one. When it happens, it's really how can you, you know, how can you push those experiences to the side and focus on, okay, how can I portray myself positively? How can I connect, you know, and it's difficult, but every time you have to try again, put things behind you and treat it as the most important opportunity to put yourself in front of an employer and show what you can add. And that is, you know, and I think that's where the coaches come in, because when we look in to our families or friends, everyone's like, yeah, it's ageism, you have no chance. And that really undermines us. When you look also at the, you know, at the facts, the older worker population is growing in terms of, you know, returning or staying in the workplace. You look at the numbers and the numbers are up and they're up quite dramatically. So there are a lot of people who are constantly, you know, succeeding at this. And so let's get out of this, oh, everything is ageism. Sometimes it can just be that you are the wrong candidate or you don't have the right skill set. You know, it happens to everyone. So depersonalizing that rejection, I think, is really, really important. And then the next step for me is really helping clients. Okay, let's focus on the positives. Let's not, you know, let's focus on the value that you add. Come with some ideas, be prepared that they might give you some challenging questions and don't get defensive. You know, when people say to you, so how do you think you can then work with a younger generation? Some people read this as a criticism, but I do think it's a legitimate question. And if we find good answers for that, and we can think these things through with, you know, either by preparing well or working with someone else on this, I think it can really add a lot of value. You want to go in there and have a really good conversation and be prepared that, yes, some questions you might think they are loaded, but if you go into thinking they're loaded, then you will give a very defensive answer. And I think that is a danger.
I like your advice to be prepared for a question like that, because sometimes these questions are never asked, how might you work with four people of a younger generation? But they're definitely on the minds of the hiring managers, aren't they?
Absolutely. And sometimes I even say to my clients, you know, depending on what the atmosphere is like, and that is always a judgment call. Sometimes it is the right thing to, you know, bring it up and say, you know, is there a, you know, we had a great conversation. Is there something that you, that is of concern to you? Of course, they can't say in the interview, well, it's your age. But I think sometimes, you know, bringing it up, or you can ask questions about, so how, you know, how does the organization, what strategies are there to bring the different generations together to talk to each other? Or for instance, you know, I mean, you're lucky in the US, you have the AARP list of the 700 age-friendly organizations in the US. And I would, as a candidate, really want to talk about the culture and how does it manifest itself and how do you support that? All the different generations can make a contribution.
Well, you mentioned earlier a suggestion that job seekers look for candidates, or I'm sorry, companies that hire older workers. And I know just a moment ago you mentioned the AARP list of age-friendly employers. Are there other strategies that you would suggest to listeners to find companies like that?
I would definitely, you know, we all have connections. We have good networks. That's another benefit that we bring when we've been in the workplace for a while. I would definitely find out, talk to people. I would do LinkedIn searches and see, you know, you can find out on LinkedIn roughly at least, you know, is someone in their 40s or 50s or 60s or 70s and reach out to them, you know, and say, you know, I saw that you work for my dream employer. Would you have 15 minutes of your time? And, you know, in confidence, can we talk about something I'm concerned about? You know, how do they see older applicants? So it's research through the lists like AARP or, you know, the Encore, or, you know, you have so many organizations in the US. Then I would definitely say do some research on LinkedIn and use your networks and ask around. And I follow, you know, a lot of the media on Twitter, and there's a fantastic community with people in our space for older workers. And, you know, if you look out for those organizations who do a lot of research, like the, you know, Milken Institute you have in the US, we have Business in the Community and Aging Better in the UK, you know, they work consistently with employers. I think there is a big change coming. And I think more and more employers, because of the demographics, realize we're, you know, it's a tight labor market. We can't find enough people. Let's be more inclusive and also look at candidates we might not have looked so much at in the past. So I think this explains why we have such success rates with older workers now, much more than in the past. And I think the time has come, you know, where our chances are becoming more equal, whether that's because of demographics or policy changes. I'm a pragmatist. I don't care. I want my clients to get great opportunities. And I think it is shifting.
Oh, wow. Well, thank you, Ruth. It's been a terrific conversation. Now, tell us, what's next for you?
Yeah, I'm working on my book, The 101 Ways to Overcome Ageism in the Workplace. And that's been inspired by my clients. I obviously hear a lot of anecdotes, you know, what they've struggled with, what has been in the way for them, what have been the barriers. And I want it to be a very pragmatic book. So it will be 101 strategies, tips, examples, so it helps people to really maneuver the job search, you know, in your 50s, in your 60s, and in your 70s. And I can't wait to get it out into the big wide world, Mark.
Well, I look forward to reading it. I know you plan to publish it in the summer of 2019.
Yeah. So, yeah.
And I also know people can learn more about you and the work you do by visiting your website. That URL is olderyetbolder.com. And we'll be sure to include that link in the show notes and the website article about this conversation. Ruth, thanks for being on the show today.
Thank you very much, Mark.
You're welcome. Take care. The most important point for me in that conversation with Ruth was about the importance of preparation. You got to do your homework before you go into an interview room. Now, Ruth was coming at this topic from the point of view of someone who is helping an older worker make a connection with a younger interviewer. And obviously, one of the benefits of doing your homework, if you're an older worker, is you will not be surprised if you walk in the room and the person you're meeting is 25 or 30 when you're in your 50s or even your 60s. So take that lesson to heart. Do the preparation. One of the tools that we have that can help you get ready is a new guide. It's called How to Fight Ageism in a Job Interview. It gives you practical tips about how to get ready for your next job interview and how to overcome those negative stereotypes employers have about older workers. You can get your copy today. Go to maxlist.org/fightageism. It's free. maxlist.org/fightageism. Thanks for listening to today's episode of Find Your Dream Job. And please join us next Wednesday. Our guest expert will be Stephanie Smith. She and I will talk about back-to-work strategies for stay-at-home parents. Until next time, thanks for letting us help you find your dream job.